just to be like Him, to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus. On earth I long, oh, to be like Him. Like Jesus. Is that your desire tonight? Everybody in the world, most everybody in the world has got a role model that they look up to, and most teenagers, and they've got their sports idols that they want to be like, and singers have got their singers that they want to sing like or act like. A lot of people like to look like other people, but I want to be like Jesus, don't you? We are what we are. And people will love you better just for being what you are. Nothing fake about us. We are what we are. But if we can be like Him, that will mean everything in this world. Turn around tonight, shake somebody's hand and tell them this. I want to be like Jesus. Play some more of that if you will, folks. Yes, Lord. Let's look at our prayer request tonight as we get ready to go right on into the service. Are you glad to be in church tonight? Isn't it a wonderful privilege once again to be in the house of the Lord? How many of you enjoyed service here on Wednesday night? The word of the Lord was absolutely wonderful, wasn't it? Amen. Let's look at these requests tonight. We'll remember Brother Ronald Spencer's brother, Mark Spencer. He has been diagnosed with stage 3 colon cancer. And we'll be starting treatment. So we certainly want to remember that prayer request tonight as we pray. Brother Terry Horn sends this in to please pray for Brother Sherman Davis. He had a heart attack, and I was told that they took him to Winston-Salem Hospital. He is scheduled to have a heart catheterization for evaluation. So we certainly want to remember that need tonight as we pray for Brother Sherman, that the Lord would be merciful unto him. Brother Derek Butt sends this in. I would like for you to pray for me. I have a herniated disc in my lower back, which is pressing on the nerve going down my leg. It is causing quite a bit of pain. Pain medication isn't doing much at all. I spend most of my time lying down. I'm scheduled for surgery on the 10th of May to remove the disc. I know God can take care of this either through surgery or no surgery at all. Please pray that His will be done. Sister Jan Winters not feeling well tonight, unable to be in the service. We'll remember her as we pray tonight. I want to pray for Paul Noriega. He will be having open heart surgery Monday for 3 blockages. So let's remember that need tonight as we pray. I want to pray for Brother Baker, flu-like symptoms. Let's pray for him. Sister Angie Brown, an unspoken prayer request. We'll just commit that to the Lord. And here's another note in regard to Brother Sherman Davis. Sister Janet Kennedy says to please remember Brandon Coffey in prayer. He is the son of a friend of mine, and he broke his neck in a car accident last night. He's at Bristol Hospital, so we want to remember that need tonight as we pray. Linda Kennedy needs healing in her body, so let's remember her tonight as we pray. Now, this is from the Riddlebaugh family. We would like to express a heartfelt thank you to everyone for their prayers, visits, flowers, cards, gifts, and services during the last week while Sister Lisa was hospitalized. Doctors are still baffled as to her recovery and their inability to locate the heart blockage previously found on her EKGs. But we know the great physician was on the scene. We don't always understand the trial, but one thing is for certain. We saw the love of God in action this week. So thank you all for your love and continued prayers. May God bless. So let's pray for the Riddlebaugh family, Sister Lisa, that the Lord would just continue to lead her right along. We believe God's more than able, don't we? All the unspoken prayer requests tonight, if you have something you'd like for this assembly to pray about. And we're so glad tonight to have with us Brother Homer and Sister Ruby Blanken. They snuck in here and somebody told on them that they was here. Give those folks a nice hand tonight. Brother Homer, God bless you. Amen. God bless you, Brother Homer. Why don't you come tonight? Let's pray, if you will, Brother Homer. Come and pray over these prayer requests tonight. Let's just commit these things unto the Lord. You pray in your own way. Let's invite the presence of our Lord into this service tonight. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Amen. Brother Homer, God bless you as you lead us to the Lord tonight. Certainly appreciate our brother. He has preached some wonderful messages right here in this church, hasn't he? God bless you, buddy. We appreciate you. There's the request.
Let's pray. Lord Jesus, God, what a privilege we have. What an opportunity, God, to live in a country, a nation, where we can assemble ourselves together in such manner. And God, not only that, but what a privilege and honor it is that you will come down and be in our midst tonight. And God, we just thank you for it. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for saving us. And God, for the Holy Ghost, for keeping us. And God, we just pray, Lord, that you would just come now. God, have your way in this service. God, everything that's said and done. And God, help us. God, as the Spirit would move, as you would work in the service, help us to be able to surrender ourselves to that moving. And God, we just pray, Lord, for these requests. God, you see each one. God, you know each heart. And God, I pray right now, in the name of Jesus, that the Spirit of God would go and just minister to each one. God, wherever they may be, whatever the need, just minister to them right now. And God, we pray for this service tonight. God, that you would just anoint the minister, anoint the word, anoint our ears to hear, our hearts to receive. And God, we'll praise you for it. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Homer. God bless you. Appreciate you. Amen. Ushers, if you'll come tonight, we'll receive the evening offering. If you're visiting tonight with us in this service, we certainly want to welcome all of you here. Glad to have you in the service tonight. Those that are streaming, may God richly bless those folks as well. Let's sing a song tonight. He looked beyond my fault and he saw my need. Aren't you so glad that he was able to do that for you tonight? I shall forever. Yes, I shall forever lift mine eyes to Calvary. Oh, to view the cross where Jesus died for me. Now, yes, I shall forever lift mine eyes to Calvary. Oh, to view the cross where Jesus died for you and for me.
Amazing grace shall always be my song of praise, for it was grace that bought my liberty. I do not know just why and how he came to love me so. He loved me all of my soul.
Yes, he did.
So many.
Sing with all your heart, I serve you. Oh, I shall
Yeah.
say praise the Lord. Amen. Further along, Brother Joel. Lead us in that, if you will, tonight.
Tempted and tried, we're often made to wonder why it should be thus all the day long. While there are others living about us, never molested, though in the wrong. Father, alone we know our mind. Will you know it? Father, sunshine, cause we'll understand it all by and by. Now, when death has come and taken our loved ones, you know these are all so lonely and dreary. Living so wicked year after year. Now listen. Now when I see Jesus coming in glory, when he comes from my home in the sky, then we shall meet him in that bright mansion. Just a little further on down the road, we'll understand why all these trials and all this trouble. Cheer up my brother and my sister, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it, oh, we'll understand it. We'll understand, one more time. We'll understand it, oh.
Thank you, Brother Joel. God bless you. Amen. You can be seated tonight. We're going to have a couple of specials tonight. Brother Tim has a song. He's been waiting for several weeks to work him in. And then Brother Bill Yance is here tonight. So, Brother Bill, go ahead and get your songbook ready. And you can sing after Brother Tim sings for us tonight. So if you want to come onto the platform, you'll be ready to go. Appreciate Brother Bill being with us in the service tonight. Appreciate Brother Tim, don't we? Amen. Let's enjoy our specials tonight. We'll go right on into the service.
I'm going to try this. 1, 2. That's all. Just a few weeks ago, when I had the guts. The more you die to yourself, the harder it gets. But I wanted to, my dad wanted to thank everyone for praying him alive. They called us in 3 times thinking he was dying. And your prayers got him back home to his sweetheart. So he wanted to say thank you. It's hard to sing after Brother Joel fast. This was a slowie. I have to try it low. Thank you. that I might be healed. Save me, and so I will be saved. Heal me, O Lord, that I might be healed. You
Praise the Lord, everybody. Anybody homesick for heaven? Let's go tonight and get it over with. Well, sometimes I get homesick for heaven. Are we in G? Well, sometimes I get homesick for heaven, and I long for the day that's gonna be when all the redeemed all gather. What a homecoming day that's gonna be. Yes, oh, what a day. Oh, what a day. Oh, what a homecoming day. All our sorrows all pass over with Him at last. Oh, what a homecoming day. Oh, think about it. With saints of all ages united, oh, we'll sing out the sweetest refrain. Yeah. Yes, we're redeemed by the blood from Mount Calvary of the Lamb on the cross that was slain. Come on, hear me now. Yes, oh, what a day. Oh, what a day. Oh, what a homecoming day. All our sorrows all passed with Him at last. Oh, what a homecoming day. Let's act like the train sitting outside. I said, oh, what a day. Oh, what a day. Oh, what a homecoming day. Sorrows all past, I were with Him at last. Oh, what a
He was singing about that largest, greatest, most long-lasting youth convention. Only youth are invited. Won't be no 50-year-olds, 60-year-olds, 70-year-olds, not even no 30-year-olds. Man, you'd be ancient if you was 30 there, wouldn't you? Praise the Lord. God bless you. Are you happy to be together tonight in the house of the Lord? What a privilege it is for us to be gathered under the auspices of the presence of God.
Amen.
Amen. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 5, if you would. I'd like to read verses 5 through verse 10. I think Brother Louie told me, Brother Homer and Sister Ruby Blank, are they here tonight? Oh, there he is. Bless you, Brother Homer. Good to see you. Amen. Revelation chapter 5, verse 5 through verses 10. I'd like to speak to you tonight on the rapture, comma, claiming His rights. The rapture, comma, claiming His rights. One of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the four beasts and the midst of the elders stood a lamb. Now watch this in verse 5. He says, the Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed. Then in verse 6, in the midst of the beasts, the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, we so thank you for your love that has reached to our poor hearts, made us part of this great economy of God. We know if we got what we deserved as far as the natural human part, it certainly would not be what we just read. Even after becoming saved, we've made so many mistakes, fallen so short of your glory. But how grateful we are, Lord Jesus, that you have reached to us. You've loved us. You've forgiven us. And you teach us how to be better people. Thank you, Lord. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for your forgiveness. But I thank you for your patience. Lord, I pray you take your word tonight and speak to us, Father. You know every heart, every need, those that are present and those that will stream the service, those that will archive it later. I pray you'd minister to every need. Help me, Lord, that I can be sensitive to the Spirit of God. Father, that I can get out of the way, just whichever direction you lead me. Help me, I pray, to follow that channel, Lord. Father God, you see these prayer cloths that I have in my hand. You know the needs, the requests of these people they're going to. I pray that you'd move, Father, in Jesus' name. And the saints said,
Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. The rapture, claiming his rights. Now, I want you to listen. I don't want you to misunderstand the statement that I'm fixing to make. I know what kind of people are going in the rapture. I don't know their names. I don't know where they live, nor their addresses. But I know what status of people are going. Y'all want to know who they are? I've got the answer laying before me. Now, the rapture is an ingathering of a certain category, a certain class, a certain kind of people. Those people are not of their own choosing. They are not a group of people that get together and decide that we are a certain class. It's not their own choice. It's not their own decision. It's not their own making. Amen. But it is the making of him who made the rapture. Amen. So he who made the rapture also made this category and class of people. So then in order for us to really know who they would be and what kind of people they would be, we would have to go to the scripture and to the message of the hour to be able to find an identification of what kind of a people that this will be. Will it be a certain race? Will they all be a certain color? Will they all weigh a certain amount? Will they have certain color of hair? Will they be in a certain age category? Will they live in a certain state? Will they be in a certain nation? Will they eat certain things? Will they all be gathered in a certain place before it happens? Will they all be listened to one particular preacher? Will they all look a certain way? Will they be whites, blacks, orientals, Asians, Middle Eastern? What will they be? What kind of people will they be? If it's going to be a special class and a certain category and class of people, what kind of people will they be that will go in the rapture? Now, whoever they are the tithing of the earth. So they are the tenths or the first fruits of all the gathering of the harvest of all of time. And it is a selected people that will represent his purity and his character. Amen. Now, since it is a people that he himself has so defined by his own nature, whatever kind of people that leaves this world in a rapture, since the rapture is the prelude or going to the marriage supper of the Lamb, then whatever kind of people leaves this world in a rapture, it will tell us what kind of a person Christ Jesus is. Now, if he raptures liars in the rapture, then that shows us he is a liar himself. If he raptures whoremongers, idolaters, worldly, sin-loving Laodiceans, then that shows us what kind of man he is. For he is choosing now his wife, and his wife is going to live with him for eternity. So, you know, what man in his right mind would want to marry a liar in a woman unless he himself was a liar too? What man would want to marry a striptease or a Jezebel unless there's something in him that called out for that? So whatever kind of woman leaves this world in a rapture tells us what kind of man Jesus really is. Right? So what kind of man do you think he is? Do you think Jesus is a liar? Do you think Jesus is a worldly loving Laodicean? Do you think Jesus is a compromiser? Do you think Jesus is a respecter of persons that says this man better toe the line, but you don't have to. You better, but you don't have to. And because your name is so-and-so, you can come in any way you want to. Is Jesus that way? Well, how come we are? Oh, glory. Now, whatever kind of people leaves this world in a rapture is his crowning glory, because the bride that leaves the world in a rapture in the resurrection is the crowning glory of 2,000 years of work as being God's monument of grace. So whatever kind of people they are, whether they are alive or whether they're by the way of the grave, whatever kind of people they were in their day, how they live by the revealed word of the hour, that shows us what kind of man Christ really is. Now, when we look at the closing men of this age being the consummation of seven church ages, then the truly, the live ones, the living ones, will be the true representation of what the word was to be at the end time. Now, we know Luther, of course, lived in what personal light he had, Wesley, or early Pentecost. But yet now when we come to the very end time when God is finishing up the making of this body, then the people who are alive and who leave this world in a body change, they will be the crowning of his glory for a 2,000 years worth of work. So however he consummates that rapture with those living ones, that will give us a pretty good idea of what kind of relationship we're going to have in eternity. So if he requires holiness, purity, righteousness, forgiving one another, loving one another, turning the other cheek, on and on and on and on and on, as we believe his word declares, then it gives us a good idea of what kind of man we're going to be living with from now on till eternity never stops, right? I don't know about you, but if Jesus was a liar, I wouldn't want to live with a liar for eternity. I haven't had problems living with liars in time. I've got enough problem living with liars the way it is right now. You have enough problem dealing with people on the edge. Why in the world would you want to go to eternity and live with a liar, which is going to be your boss and going to be your husband, and live with a fornicator and an adulterer? But friend, he is not that kind of a person. So that would be absolutely contrary to his own nature then, to marry a woman, he being pure and holy and all that he is, to marry a woman, take her out of this world and let her be a Jezebel and let her be worldly and let her be this and that and the other, and let the men do whatever they want to do. Well, God understands, and take that in the rapture, and that is the crowning of his work for 2,000 years. And he would marry that type of a woman and raise her up and say, look, this is her. My, look, this is what I've worked for all these years. This has been all the atoning work that I've done in the mediatorial work. And this is what I've accomplished. Absolutely not. Now, there will be people like that that will come up in the second resurrection, and they will be judged according to what they have heard. But when we're talking about the rapture now, the rapture is claiming his rights of redemption, what he has fully redeemed. Now, are the foolish virgins fully redeemed? No, they lay aside the way to the word. Now, they think they're under the blood, but they're not actually under the blood, because if they were, they could never go through a tribulation period. Millions of Christians in this day think they're under the blood, but they're not. They cannot be. How can the blood speak for a man and then that man wind up going through the tribulation? It would be totally impossible. But yet they think they're under the blood, but they stop by the very way their approach to the blood is how? Through the revealed word of the hour. We walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. So we cannot walk in the light of Wesley substance that was thought to be the chemistry in that day. We cannot walk in the light of Pentecost where they believe the evidence was jerking and shouting and speaking in tongues. And we believe in all that too. But we must walk in the light that is given for this day if we're going to be under the blood, now the token age, the very life of Christ himself, in order to be fully redeemed. Now the others will come in the last stage of redemption, which will be the second resurrection and the white throne judgment, but the bride is coming through the stage of what? Purification by the redemption of the Redeemer's life. So it's not by our works, it's not the good things we have done, but it's by the Redeemer's life, which is an evidence of his own being inside of us. Oh, how we ought to thank God for that tonight. So then he's been doing all of this work now for 2,000 years. So he would send a message, he would seal the elect away, and every day, in every age, in every generation gets a chance of revival. So God would send Luther, and then Luther went off the scene, then a generation, the generation, the generation. Each one of them generations thereafter had a chance until the message changed from that to sanctification. Then the days of sanctification, Wesley went off the field. Others come on, they died, they buried them, they went their way, they were sealed away. Every generation after that initial message was sent had a chance of revival until the age merges in into what? The last Reformation, which is Pentecost. Then Pentecost, them early fighters, they come out, they stand for what they believe to be the truth, the gifts, restoration of gifts, restoration of the one God, water baptism. They're sealed away under their messenger, and it goes on and on and on to the very end time. Even in the first stages of this message, people that were sealed away under the emphasis of God sending a prophet, that's what they rallied around, that's what they believe. Hold on now. Preaching God sent a prophet will never produce rapturing faith. If it did, Brother Branham should have raptured the people when he was here, because much of his ministry was pointing the people to him being a prophet. It never raptured them then. It will not rapture us now. Brother Branham tells us in Christ the mystery of God revealed when the bride recognizes who she is. Not when the bride recognizes who Brother Branham is, but when the bride recognizes who she is, then the rapture will go, not come. The rapture will not come, the rapture will go. So what is the rapture? It is the event of the Lamb taking his claim of his rights. So then what kind of people is it that's going to be in this rapture and this body change? Of course, you know already the answer to this. It will be people from all different nations, people being a Gentiles. There will be black, white, red, yellow. There'll be multilingual. There'll be multi-race, multicultural. There will be all kinds of people. The whites have no advantage. The black have no advantage over in the rest. We'll all stand there before God washed in the blood. But yet there will be a certain status of people out of all of these different races that they're all one. Now, our noses will be different, our makeup will be different, our character, even the place we come from will be different, our heritage, our cultural background, will all of that be different, but we will all have many, many things in common from the divine nature, and one of them, of course, will be of the same divine life. We'll all be under the display of the token age, but we will all have a certain status that'll be reflecting back here in time right now. You see, the token itself, we look at a person and we really don't know if that person has the Holy Ghost or not. We look and we see folks and they run faithful for years and years and years. And then all of a sudden you start noticing a little change in them. A little more, a little more, a little more. And then they turn and go that way. Say, what in the world happened to them? But you see, the real token, even though you may not be able to see it with the natural eye, there is identifications by which we can know that we have passed from death unto life. Will we shout? We might. Will we speak in tongues? We might. But there are some things you definitely will do. Now, one thing that will be in common all over this entire earth at the same time and a certain status of people that will make the rapture is they will all be prisoners. Y'all thought I was going to say some great deep mind. Y'all were just on the edge of your seat. Now you just slid back and crossed your arms. And oh no. Man, I was looking for something deep. It's deeper than what you give credit. Now, because God then is looking for a certain nature of a certain character of a wife. Now, knowing that every one of us take the Holy Ghost and let the Holy Ghost fall on every one of us here tonight that would truly be born again. And some of you might dance when it fall on you. And you might shake your head a certain way, or you might shake your leg a certain way like I do, or shout like somebody else would. Others of you may never shout. Maybe you've never shouted in your life. Don't mean you ain't got the Holy Ghost. But yet, we might react different. The Spirit of God might move on one of you if you did speak in tongues. You might say short syllables. And others of you might go into great languages and might just be great big old long words, and we just love to hear you speak in tongues. Same Spirit of God giving a different utterance. So all of those manifestations might be a little bit different. But yet when the Spirit of God sets for a status quo of a certain type of people, it will be very, very similar. Now, the Holy Ghost could fall on me tonight, anoint me to preach. I'd preach one way, Brother Joe would preach another, Brother Terry another, Brother Amos another, Brother Gene, these different brothers, and they'd yield to it. Same Holy Ghost, yet they yield a different way. But whenever God has something in His mind that He wants the entire bride all over the world to be like, even though they will come from all these different backgrounds, all these different cultures, all these different ethnic influences, yet the Spirit of God from the soul will be able to take them and reflect one character, which is absolutely, it's just totally remarkable when you look at it. That all the people around the world which know nothing, many of them will never meet until we meet in the rapture time and the body change. But yet you take the real bride in Ghana, the real bride in Nigeria, the real bride in, you know, wherever it is around the world, and you'll find things about them that are identical, the same to people in America, in Chicago, in Louisiana, in South Texas, or wherever. Why? Because that part does not have an effect on the ethnic background or the cultural background. Now, our human part does. We're used to worshiping a certain way here at Happy Valley. We like our music a certain way. Some folks don't like our music. The European brothers, oh my, they have a terrible time with their drums. Some folks won't even stream our services because they can't stand them drums. But I like them. And as long as I like them, they're going to stay here. Because I'm the pastor. I'm not adjusting my service for the brothers in Europe because they don't like drums. Sorry. Our church is sovereign within itself. Will there be drums in heaven? I have no idea. I'll be changed. It won't matter then. So if there ain't, God don't like them, that's perfectly fine. But you see, there's things about us that will be identical the same. We sing different, we worship different, we preach different, we shout different. But there's things about us that God requires that must be the identical same in every member of the body, which is totally impossible for it to be achieved without divine help. And one of those things is prisoners. Now you see, this has to do with the second fold of the mystery of God. Now God had a great plan, a threefold plan that He wanted to achieve. All the prophets was the making of it. The body of the prophets in the Old Testament, the four patriarchs, the four foundations. All the acts, all the lives of these individuals, all the shadows and the types, all of them reflecting into this great threefold purpose. The first was that God wanted to reveal Himself in Christ. Now, the second was that He could have a body that He could have the preeminence in. Now notice, He don't just want a body. He wants a body that He can have preeminence in. Amen. And then the third fold of that purpose is to take Adam and Eve back to the Garden of Eden again. Now, notice then, if there is a certain type of life, of character, of nature that God demands, it must be God that will provide the way in order for this to be accomplished. Because when we all come to the earth, we're tainted. So we have no natural inclination toward God at all. Our flesh being born between Satan and Eve, and we lean toward evil, we lean toward wrong, the natural man I'm talking about. But yet there's something, if our name is placed on the Lamb's Book of Life, you'll come to that sooner or later. Right? Now, watch this. Brother Bam says, I'd like to make this statement that God always has to take any man that will serve Him truly to be His prisoner. A man has to surrender every ambition he's got. Now listen to this. A man has to surrender every ambition he's got. I wonder how many of us have done this tonight. We got some good preachers in the message, but I'm convinced all of them ain't done this. Because they take their gift and they merge their gift with their own personal ambition.
They want to go here, they want to go there, they want to do this, they want to reach a certain element of fame or a certain element of value or importance or whatever it is, and that is still a human ambition instead of being a prisoner to what God wants them to be. Come on, I don't get quiet on me already. Now watch, he said a man has to surrender every ambition he's got, everything that he is. His life, soul, body, will, ambitions, and everything else. Boy, he didn't leave nothing, did he? Oh my. Life, soul, body, will, ambitions, everything else. And become a complete, a prisoner to Christ. Who is the word to serve God. Oh my. Now listen to this. What it will do to not only preachers now. You may have to walk contrary in your better judgment. To where you, in your better judgment, you look at a situation and think, now you know what? I think we need to do such and such and so, and the Spirit of God will move upon you by direct leading of the Holy Ghost and said, don't you go that way. Don't you do this. But in your better judgment, you ought to go this way, but the Spirit of God said, don't do it. Don't you do it. You leave it alone. Don't you do that. You do not go that way. Now I'm talking about bride material. I ain't talking about message, folks. I'm talking about bride material. It shows me, my brother, sister, many folks around this message are not this caliber of people. Because they do what they want to do. They go where they want to go, and I don't care what you tell them. The preacher can stand there and preach till he's blue in the face, and they're going to do it anyhow. They're not a prisoner. They're a message believer. The rapture's not for message believers. It's for prisoners. Y'all didn't know it, but I have a prison ministry. Right. Glory. And just in case you wonder what kind of ministry it is, it's not to set prisoners free necessarily, but bind them. Set them free from sin, of course, but bind them to Christ. Amen. Now notice this. He says, you walk contrary in your better judgment. I mean, a certain organization you might think that can lift you up and give you something great. And that might flash, but what do you find yourself? You find yourself defeated after a while. Until God can get a man that's willing to become a prisoner. Oh, you say that's organization. That's as far as you know. There's preachers in this message that do exactly the same thing. They associate and preach in certain churches and identify themselves around certain groups because it would be more popular for them. Even though they may know this is over here is a little bit clearer on the truth and it's more straight, but to be identified with that guy gets you in trouble. So they would rather have 175 church doors open and people love them and praise them and all this and other than to have five and be in the will of God. Oh Lord, have mercy. Jesus. My. Notice, Brother Branham says in paragraph 116. Now, he preaches this little simple sermon on Wednesday night at the tabernacle. Just a little simple Bible study. God is looking for prisoners. Now, I've been in prison. I mean, I don't have a record, but I preached in prison. You think, oh dear God, don't tell me he's been. I preached in prisons. In prison, you have to wear certain clothes. You can't go where you want to go. You don't just walk up front and tell the guy at the front, I'm going down to McDonald's, give me a Big Mac, I'll be back in about five. I'm going down to Hardee's. I'll see you guys about 4:30. Don't lock the door on me. You don't wear what you want to wear. You don't go where you want to go. Come on, church, preach with me now. Why? Because you are a prisoner. You have somebody that tells you when to get up. They tell you when to go to bed. They tell you a certain cell block you're going into. They assign you a certain number. Come on, children. And you're there because of crimes you have done or crimes you've been accused of, which maybe you didn't do. But unlike that prison, this one here, oh glory, as I've went and preached in prisons before, and they want to check my background, and they want to do a scan on me to make sure all this and that and the other, you know, because you're talking to some pretty serious guys in there. And you go through this gate and another gate and another gate and razor wire everywhere. But this prison I'm talking about tonight, there are no gates, there's no razor wire. It's all a prison house of love. Amen. He don't hold you by fear. He don't hold you by hanging you over hell. But the real bride in this prison house is held by cords of love. God is looking for prisoners. Why would he want them? Well, of course, he's got a prison, you knucklehead. What does anybody look for prisoners for? You got a prison. In my Father's prison are many mansions. He's always done it, he said. You might search it through the scriptures. Man has got to be a prisoner to Christ against anything. Now listen how this closest comes. Therefore, you cannot be connected with anything but Christ. Even your father, your mother, your brother, your sister, your husband, your wife, anybody. Anybody that would come between you and Christ, you cannot allow that to happen. Well, glory. A lot of folks, man, they'll hang with you till you cross them and their daddy. Then you're in a mess of trouble. You cross Uncle Joe or Aunt Susie or Aunt Lula Belle or whoever more. Grandma, I'll tell you one thing. Grandma told me this. Grandma told me that. You cross Grandma, you're in a heap of trouble. You're not a prison. Because the word of God is true and it's right. Where mama don't believe it, daddy don't believe it, whoever, don't make no difference. Not that you're uncaring now. You do care about them, but you are a prisoner. And you're not in the state system. Amen. This is not a state prison. This is not a United States prison. It's a God prison. Glory. Notice this. You're connected with Christ and Him only. Then God can use you. Until then, you can't. So God is looking for prisoners. Now, these prison people, you won't see them out on the side of the road in a van there or a bus and says, state correctional people, and they all have orange on, or out in Arizona, pink. You know, you ain't got a guy standing there with this double alt and his shotgun and a handgun on and this and tasers and whatever more, because a real bride ain't going to run off. You can't run her off. As a matter of fact, her faith is so strong, even Jesus himself can't run her off. Woo! Glory! He drops them out on the side of the road. He drops them off down in Lowe's or Walmart and said, go ye therefore, hallelujah, and let your light shine. He don't hold them at gunpoint. He don't hang them over hell and say, if you backside, I'll tell you one thing, I'll scorch your soul down in hell. But he says, go get them, children. Now, they don't have on jumpsuits. Since we don't believe in women wearing pants. The men don't look like sissies. They don't have earrings and rings in their nose and rings in their toes and rings in their tongues and all that sort of thing. Come on. You never see any of them bebopping it around because they're listening to rap and country and rock and roll, because they don't listen to it. There's no laws that stand there and say, you turn on country music, I'll blow you away. They're held by love. Watch this. He says, you go out sometimes and you speak rough to people.
Uh-oh. Rough. That's one thing message folks don't like in this day. It's probably the worst criticism I get in this message. Is I preach rough. Because folks want a whispering preacher. Don't raise your voice. Don't make anybody mad. It's going to get to a place in this message you can't even preach on the devil. The only person that I know that I can preach on that nobody ever says anything about it is me. Nobody ever says anything. If I preach against me, well, boy, if I preach against anything else, oh, Lord have mercy. There he goes. Look at him. There he goes. Well, I'm sorry, friend. God called me to preach like a thunderbolt. I'm not a whispering pastor. And if you don't like it, them same doors that led you in will take you back out. I'm trying to produce a rapture here, not a Laodicean, lukewarm, backslid message congregation. Those other churches you can go to if you desire, that's up to you. I'm interested not in numbers. I'm not interested in appeal and all the things of the world. I want to get out of this hellhole that we're in. I'm sick of living here. I'm sick of Laodicea. I'm sick of all that's around us. My, I said, sometimes you speak rough to people. And I'm trying to get you cut loose. You gotta have a starting place. I sometimes call out to the women, bobbing their hair, wearing their clothes, and holding and maintaining their Christian profession. Say, that's a little thing. Well, you gotta start somewhere. So begin right there. Amen. In your ABC, see, and cut loose the worldly looks, anyhow, and become a prisoner to Christ. And then just keep on. Amen. Cut loose everything till finally the last line is cut loose. Amen. And you're a prisoner then. You become in His grip. He's got you in His grip. But only when you're a prisoner. When I think that, I just see denomination pass off the scene, you said. Everything else just goes. See, when I see God's great purpose revealing Himself in heaven, first to reveal Himself in Christ. Now look at the first fold. The fullness of the Godhead bodily. Then, to bring that fullness of Godhead bodily into a people. Can we comprehend it tonight, Brother Terry, that the fullness of the Godhead bodily that was in Jesus Christ when He was on the earth is on the earth tonight in a bride. Not in me as an individual, not in you as an individual, not in Brother Branham as an individual, not in Paul as an individual, but in the body. In the body of Christ. Now notice what this fullness will do. That He could have the preeminences, the oversight, the leading. So if the warden says, everybody in bed by 9 o'clock, I don't like to go to bed at 9 o'clock. We don't remember asking you if you'd like to. The warden said 9. If the warden says everybody wears green jumpsuits with pink purple polka dots and stripes and you look like a tiger one day and a lion the next and a cheetah the next, you put them on. Because you are a prisoner. And I'm going to tell my mama, go ahead. We don't care what mama says. Can you imagine some fella said, it don't look right. It's embarrassing for me to be out there on the side of the road with these orange jumpsuits on and I'm out there weeding down the road going to Elizabetha. It's embarrassing for me to be that way. You have committed a crime and they want everybody to know who you are. That's for your safety part of it, my friend. So if you see somebody going like this down the road and they got orange on, you better pass them by. You better keep right on going. That's an identification. You know that old boy's been in some trouble. He might take your car and knock you in the head. So when they look at you, sisters, and they laugh and make fun, you know what they're doing? You got your orange on. Go
Stay away from him. Somebody told me when he preaches, he drinks red stuff. Reckon he's a vampire? Greater than that, a son of God. A son of God. Amen. A prisoner. A prisoner. Oh, glory. Notice this. Paul and all of his great intellects. Oh, my. Look at this in paragraph 147. Of Christ, the mystery of God revealed. When God gets you to be his prisoner, then you can do nothing but what the Spirit says did. Now take that simple statement right there and then look at yourself. And I'll look at myself. And we'll see if we're where we need to be. Do you do only what the Spirit gives you permission to do? Testing. 1, 2, 3. Testing. 1, 2, 3. Praise the Lord. Whew. Longer I go, the quieter y'all get. Notice this. Paul, with all of his great intellects, he taught by Gamaliel to be a great priest or rabbi someday. He had high ambitions. He was intellectual, a great man. Great authority, great man in the nation. But he had to sacrifice 10% of that. And then 90% of that he was able to mix in with the new message. And every bit of it? So does that mean I have to do that too? Really? Now surely y'all wouldn't demand more of me than you demand of yourself. So does that mean y'all got to do that? So that means you ought to lay aside your Baptist, previous Baptist convictions about this and that and the other, or Pentecostal or whatever more. He had to sacrifice every bit of it, see, to become a part of the Word to express Jesus Christ. He knew, oh my, he had a notion to go over someplace. Some brethren had called him. He was forbidden by the Spirit to do his own will. You'd not believe how strange this is to some message preachers. I get invitations from people all over the world who want me to come here and there and there and there and there. And I tell them basically the same thing. I'll pray over it. I'll pray about it. You can't believe some of the looks on people's faces. Pray about it. Well, you're old fashioned, ain't you? Prisoner, I think it's called. I think it's called orange jumpsuit. So it was not devils that was inviting Paul to some seance. It was brothers that invited him to come and preach. But the Spirit, now he's a prisoner. The Spirit using his intellect. Well, I could help them brothers. No doubt he could have. But the Spirit said, don't you go. He was forbidden by the Spirit to do his own will. So he wanted to go. He willed to go. I can help those brothers. But the Spirit said, don't you do it. But if you do that in this day, you make folks mad at you. I made folks mad at me before because I turned down conventions and turned down meetings. And they say, well, we want you to come preach us. I'll pray about it. Email again. Hey, you come preach for us. I'm praying about it. Yes, you come preach for us. I'm praying about it. And then I text back and said, sorry, I'm not coming. Well, why? We offended you? Have we done something to you? No, I just simply don't feel led to come. You think, why is that a problem? For all guys in orange jumpsuits, we should all understand the same thing. I mean, either we're prisoners or we're not. What's hard for us to understand? We're picked up at a certain time. We're let out at a certain time. We eat at a certain time. We get up at a certain time. We wear a certain thing because we are prisoners. Right. So when you think about it, the rapture, it's not going to actually be that hard. The thing that we've stressed out for and we've studied and we've tried to comprehend and tried to figure out and tried to contemplate, rapturing faith, it made it some great. When you think about it, it's going to be the warden's call. All you got to do is get up, have your clothes on and be ready. Glory! It ain't like you've got to be down here on the air laboring and straining and trying to do this and that other. You are a prisoner. You are a prisoner. And when the warden makes the call, I'm out of here. Oh my. Brother Murray said he was forbidden by the Spirit to do his own will. Oh! If people half spiritual can pick that up. He was forbidden to do his own will. The Spirit forbid me. See? He was a prisoner to Christ. What if every person here at Happy Valley that's truly born again could actually move into this cycle right here? You realize a lot of the marriage problems be totally dissolved. A lot of the differences you have between this side and that side and this brother and that sister and this and that and the other be totally resolved. You're saying, what in the world happened to all that? Prisoners. It resolved itself from within. Why? Because you wouldn't, you would not see him. I'm going to tell him, no, you're a prisoner. You're a prisoner. The Spirit of God wants to so. Oh, you're talking about, Brother Donnie, what are you talking about? You sound like to me, you want everything we do to be controlled. No, I don't want that. I don't want that. He does. Glory. That's up to you, friends. You can just be a message believer, a Malachi 4 believer, or you can be a prisoner. Or you can be both. It's up to you. I'm going to believe Malachi 4, but I'm going to be a prisoner. Because believing Malachi 4 won't put me in unless I'm a prisoner. But if I'm a prisoner, I'll believe Malachi 4. Now watch this little fortune teller one day. He knowed, Paul knowed he had power to cast that devil out. But he could only do it as God willed it. Day after day she followed him, crying out after him. But one day the Spirit gave him permission. Now you imagine every word Paul would go, here come his fortune teller. These men are the men of God. These men are the men of God. The devil. That woman just being anointed of the devil. And Paul said, I know I got authority. The Spirit said, don't do it. But the word says, I'll cast out devils. But there's a time and a season. You see, friend, to be prisoners to Jesus Christ is not only just follow scripture by scripture by scripture, quote by quote by quote, but there's seasons for this. There's times, there's dispensation, and we can take the word and put it together and totally be the wrong season. So my name is sure he goes day after day after day. And one day the Spirit said, today is the day. Oh my. Day after day she cried after him. But one day the Spirit gave him permission. Then he rebuked her, the spirit that was in her. He knowed what it was to be a prisoner. So you look at something that needs to be done, spiritual. And you feel that in your heart. Don't do it. Don't say it. Not now. Don't preach it. Don't pray for this one. Don't do that. And then you got people sitting there watching you. And they're thinking, how come he don't do this? And how come she don't do that? Now, I think they ought to do it now. And God will allow every one of you to be tried in that way. To see, will you be a prisoner to what your neighbor thinks? Or a prisoner to what your mama thinks? Or will you be a prisoner to this word? You folks still want to go on the rapture after I'm 30 minutes into this sermon? Or 45? All right, I just want to make sure. My knowed what it was to be a prisoner. Moses and his intellectuals, he had to lose them in order to find Christ to be a prisoner. Then when God got all the world beat out of him, all of his mighty man that he was, and standing in the presence of that pillar of fire that day, he was found speechless. He couldn't even talk, he said. God had a prisoner then. You see, you won't try your own searching. Then God had to undo this man and die on the power enough. He could go down there and say, Lord, I told Pharaoh what she said. And he said he wouldn't do it. Now watch what God does. Now he said, well, take this thy rod. God's speaking. That's God's word. Go out there and point it toward the east and call for flies. And flies come into creation. Because he had a prisoner that Pharaoh couldn't pay off with nothing. Nobody else could turn him. No way. He was a complete prisoner in the chains of God's word. You imagine Brother Branham going to his motel and the places he would stay at night, and he said many of those demons that he would cast out of people in those services, they'd come back and haunt him at night. He'd feel their flesh rubbing against him. And he'd hear chains rattling all night long. Now that scares us, because that's a realm that most of us don't know hardly anything about. And to be honest, most of us aren't called to deal in that realm very much. Then you turn on the other hand, that God has chains. But they don't cut holes in your hands. And it's not chains of condemnation. But it's chains of love. But I don't know about you, I still want to hear mine rattle. Oh, glory. Amen. Brother Bam said, you women, you could go out there and look out the world. You could cut your hair. You could do it. As far as a mortal, you could do it. But you're a prisoner. Amen. Your brothers could do this. You could do that. But you're a prisoner. But you don't do it. I'd like to go out and commit adultery. I'd like to. But boy, they'd church me if I did. They'd preach on me. And the deacons would come and they'd get on me. They'd do. No. What we want to hear is him. I don't want to do it, Jesus. I've used this example in different parts of the world. You've heard me use it before. Let me use it again. In the way you'll answer this question, I'll tell you if you're truly born again or not. If the Lord God gave you 1 week, starting tonight at 12 o'clock, you can do anything in the world that there is wrong. You're bothered with lust? Go out and have all the women you want. You're bothered with money? Go rob a bank. Whatever you want to do, do it. Do it all. 24/7. And next Saturday night, come right back here. And I'll have the pastor lay hands on you. And I'll forgive it all. And forget it all. It'll never be mentioned. It'll never be brought up against you at the day of judgment. Now you tell me from your soul what you would do with that offer. And I'll tell you whether you're born again. Not from your conscience now. Not from teaching. But from your soul. If God made me that offer, Brother Frank, it'd scare me to death. I'd say, Lord, have I done anything that would make you think I want to do that? Have I done anything? I'd probably lock myself in the bedroom and nail the door and tell Carol to slide me a plate under the door every night. I'd be scared to death. I wouldn't even want to think about going and doing nothing like that, would you? Absolutely not. Why? Because I love him. I don't want to do wrong. I don't want to go out into the world and be like the world. Come on, children. You understand what I'm saying? Why? Because I'm scared he'll send me to hell. It's not that. I don't want to hurt him. I don't want to offend him. He's done so much for me. Why would I want to do that to him? So I'm held. I'm a prisoner. But it's not by fear. I used to serve him by fear. In Pentecost, I was held to him by fear. They scared you to death. The preacher scared the fire out of you, or in you on. They held you over hell nearly every weekend. I've had my toenails curl up in my shoes and pews before, sat there and gripped the pew, be so scared, and think you'd never be able to make it, never be able to be good enough, never be able to do it, and I served him by fear. Oh, but what a deliverance it was for me when I finally came to the truth. Oh, I still fear him and I respect him and I love him. Amen. But I don't serve him tonight out of them kind of chains. I'm not serving anymore because I'm scared. I better preach because he'll send me to hell if I don't. Oh, no. If I started preaching that way, y'all would tell a difference because you know it wasn't from the love in my heart. If you serve him from that way, I'll tell a difference. But we want to serve him because we love him so much. We love him more than the world. We love him more than mama, more than daddy, more than anything that there is in this world. And our chains are just as real. Just as real as Satan's fetters. But they're chains of love. Notice this. I love this paragraph 153. If God can get him prisoners like that, now that he can express the preeminence, you see, he got the man or the person that he knows nothing but Christ. You see what I mean? Secondly, now first to express himself completely God in Christ. Second, to have the preeminence. Friends, the focus of God is not just to get a message. Do you understand? The people have made an idol out of this message. This is not the second fold of God's purpose. It's to just to have a message. It's to have a people. A people that the Lord God can have preeminence in their life. His second fold was not to have a prophet, but a people. And not just a people. A people that he can have preeminence in. Yeah. Notice to have the preeminence by this. In his church, which is his body, the bride. Till he could have the preeminence to express himself through them. All right. Thirdly, to restore the kingdom to its rightly position that fell by sin by the first Adam. Back to where he walked in the cool of the evening with his people, talked with them, and fellowshiped with them. Now notice the first fold unfolds into the second. The life of the first fold comes into the second fold purpose. Now watch how he says this. It's not the expression of some church that we should express something. It's a life that you don't live yourself. Well, I'm trying to be a Christian. I'm trying to live a good life. I'm trying to live holy. I'm trying to live godly. Well, you're making a mess. There's things you've got to do. You don't live this life because you cannot. That does not lead to preeminence. That leads to messageism. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. I'm trying. I'm trying. I'm trying. I'm trying. Glory. But notice this. It's a life that you don't live yourself. Notice how simple this is. But he comes. Now here's the bride coming of Christ. He comes in you and lives by himself. Not you and him. Him. Lives by himself and you become. Lord Jesus. Can't you see why this cannot be bought? You cannot be educated into it. You cannot be talked into it. Since it's him coming in the individuals, then he chooses which ones he gets in. Now this is not you accepting him as your savior. We're not talking about savior now. We're talking about preeminence, lordship. Accepting him as Savior is something totally different from this. Any person out here can accept him as Savior if they want him in their life. But that don't mean that will allow him to be Lord. I'm talking about preeminence. And this is only for a certain class. They're the only ones that can. Because the others cannot fully be redeemed. So that nature will always haunt them. The Word can never be first. The Word will never be first. They'll go so far till they find something they can't go along with. Or mama or grandpa or somebody. And then they'll back off. And really, they can't help it. You'd be the same way if it wasn't for the Spirit of God in you. All humans are, because we're made up to compromise. But by new birth, you can't compromise because it's divine nature. So it's a life that you don't live yourself. But he comes in you. Oh my. And lives by himself. And you become a prisoner to any human intellectual being at all. You're led by the Spirit. Then he comes in, this individual, that one, that one, that one. He's doing it in Happy Valley, he's doing it in Louisiana, doing it in Canada, doing it in Ghana, doing it in Nigeria, doing it all over the world, the same work at the same time, and getting a people where he can have the preeminence in their life. They're human, sure. They'll make mistakes, sure. But as they're growing to the headship, they're growing, 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 and he's coming up into this life stage from the eyes right up to the intelligence toward the very mind of Christ himself. You say, how will I know if I've got the mind of Christ instead of intellectual faith? Look at him who had the mind of Christ first. And look at the scribes, Pharisees, and Sadducees, and that'll give you a pretty good contrast. He who had the mind of Christ always pointed toward that word, not from an intellectual standpoint, but by revelation. And they was able, or they would stay right with it until it crossed them. Then they'd find a, you know, a way around it, a substitute or tradition. Come on, children. But the mind of Christ always stays with that word, no matter who it cuts in or cuts out. Can you imagine tonight, tonight, God is doing the same thing. Brothers over in Africa, which is already 8 hours or 9 hours ahead of us in time, there in the early morning, the Spirit of God may be dealing with pastors' hearts in Zimbabwe, in Johannesburg, down in Chile or Brazil, wherever. The Spirit of God dealing with them about a sermon to preach to their church in the morning. They may get there in the morning, they may not have but 40 or 50. And the Spirit of God will take them in Spanish, or take them in Portuguese, or take them in Swahili, whatever language that they speak. And it'll be what? Saying the same thing. The words will be different than the way we say it here. It'll be different than the words that they would say at Brother Tim Peart's church, or wherever more, Brother Mike Price. But yet the thought will be the same. What is that thought? That the prisoners of God can surrender their mind, their soul, their body, everything they are, hallelujah, to the power of God. Why? So they can be finished for the rapture. So the rapture is claiming his rights.
Notice this in the breach. He comes forth what? To take his claims. Oh my. Come forth to take his claims. He done the kinsman work. He come down, become man, died. He done the kinsman work of redemption. But had not as yet called for his claim. Now in the gold rush days out in California and different places in the Klondike, if you would have lived in that time frame and you would have wanted to go make a claim, you would have to go to the land office. You couldn't just go out somewhere, well, I want to go here and this is mine, bless God, I got my shotgun, I'll blow your brains out. You had to have some legal proof. So you filed a claim. I want to go out there at that big hickory tree and come across that big cedar down there at that big old rock and right down through here, this is my claim. Go down to the land office. Yes, sir. There's my ex. Yes, sir. That's law. This is his claim. So that man come in there for that gold, said, what's your claim? So-and-so, a hickory tree up such and such and so-and-so. So he can fully be able to get this. This is mine. I've got a right. This is my claim. Yes, sir. And they put his claim down in a book. So if you come out there and he hits gold and you say, you know what, I ain't gonna go out there and dig around that other side. Why not go over and just take what he's got? And he goes down to the law office and said, that fat rascal's down there on my claim. So him and the sheriff goes back up there and said, what do you think you're doing up here, boy? I want this here gold, man. I want this here gold. The book says you gotta move.
Don't you see what he's been doing? Now what is it? The goal? Glory to God. Here we go again. The goal was right down in the earth before the man ever made the claim. The goal was in the earth before there was ever a book. The goal was in the earth before there was ever a place called the California Territory. The goal was in the earth at the foundation of the earth when the Lord put the gold in there. Hallelujah! What's he doing and what is the work of redemption? It's redeeming those claims that was placed there before the foundation of the world. And the devil said, he's mine. And Jesus said, no, he ain't neither. He's right here in this book. Glory to God, she's mine. No, she ain't neither. I've got a right of her. Amen. Hallelujah. So what's the rapture? Claiming the rights. So it's the warden making the call to all the nuggets. Now he comes on the scene to claim his rights. Now he opens the mysteries of the seals, but the reality of the seals is not open in 1963. They're not fully made open. Sit down and look at me if you want to, and I'll read it to you tomorrow. But he changes his costume, his actor's garment, and he comes out as a lion. And when he comes out as a lion, he reaches and gets that book. Why? He's fixing to make his claim. All right, I want all my golden nuggets to be gathered around my golden throne and walk on golden streets and place a golden crown on my head. Oh, glory to God. Can't you see what it is? What is the rapture, friends? It is him making his claim. He's buying it. He's redeeming it. He's working through the mysterious powers of God to finish you as a prisoner. And the rapture is gathering the claims. So naturally, you've got to get the book. Let's stand. Oh, I know, but we can't stay all night. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Notice. Then the rapture is gathering the prisoners. We're not getting parole. We're getting a new body. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What good but eternal life doing this body? I'd still make mistakes in heaven. And you would too. What if God just put natural life, took natural life out of this, and put eternal life in this? This right here. Why did God tell him to protect the way to the tree of life, to eternal life, lest Adam would put forth his hand and live in that body forever? God don't want to just give you eternal life. He wants to give you a new body. So the life in us now is bringing this body. Well, how come you women don't care? Well, because our preacher preaches on it. No. How come y'all don't go to movies? How come y'all don't do this? And well, because our preacher. It ain't because you're a preacher. It's because you're in jail. Just go ahead and tell them. You're in for life. You're a lifer. Glory! Hallelujah! Don't give me parole in 5 years. Don't give me 12. But make me a lifer. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm going to tell you something. One of these days, you're going to be so glad. Oh, yeah.
that you've been a prisoner. Amen. Listen, friends, the honest truth is everybody is a prisoner to something. You're a prisoner to drugs, you're a prisoner to alcohol, you're a prisoner to drinking, to the devil. Everybody's a prisoner. I'm just glad I'm a prisoner to the right one. Aren't you? What's the devil going to lead you to? Eternal separation. Can you imagine them sinners at the great resurrection? Brother M says they will raise and they will be judged in that same body that they sinned in. And when all the bride gets up, it'll be all 18 to 20 year olds. But there'll be some old people that'll come up to the judgment. 80 years old, 75 years old. Someone that lived in the days of Noah, 400, 500, 600 years old, 700 years old. And they'll be judged in that same resemblance of that body. And once they walk up before the throne of God, that very body itself tells you they've not been a new creation. Can't you see? Can't you see when you see him, your body tells you've been a prisoner. If not, you'd be a 50-year-old man, a 40-year-old man, a 40-year-old woman, a 60-year-old woman. Oh my, but when he stands there and looks at you, your body identifies you were a prisoner in life. Now you have been liberated and set free with a new body. Praise God. Let's pray together if you would. Lord Jesus, I'm not sure why you wanted me to go this way tonight. I've been studying all week and I thought I had this direction already lined out. But today, for whatever reason, this week as I've been going back through Christ and Mystery, and then today, Lord, I thought I was pretty well ready. And then just a little while before church, you started going this direction about prisoners. So I'm not going to question you. I know you know what we need. I pray, Lord, you'd help us. Help me, Jesus. Lord God, you don't shoot yours on sight. Lord, sometimes prisoners get out of our prison system and they steal a car and rob a man or a woman and do this and that and the other and go on a rampage. If they go far enough, they'll tell the police officers or the security they're armed and dangerous. Shoot them if you have to. Lord, there may be some here tonight that have been prisoners, but they're out. They're out from under that leading of the Spirit of God in their lives on a day-to-day basis. They're kind of doing their own thing. Doing what they want to do and going where they want to go and listening to what they want to listen to, and nobody ain't going to tell them nothing no different. I believe your Spirit is concerned to recapture those types of prisoners, Lord. You don't send us out, Lord, with a shotgun, with a double-aught buck or a taser or something like that. We're not instructed from headquarters to kill them, shoot them on sight, to try to wound back in if we can. Because we know you will never lose one of yours. Lord, maybe there's a preacher here tonight, or that'll hear my voice. A deacon, a trustee, a housewife, a teenager. They've known what it's like to be a prisoner of Christ. But they've got cold and indifferent. They've got tired of wearing the orange jumpsuit, as we'd said. And I said that so they can relate to it. It's embarrassing for the girls to have long hair. It's embarrassing not to be able to wear stuff on their eyes and on their face. They get tired of being made fun of. Help them, Lord God. But Lord, you'll not bring them back in with a big ball and chain and put them in solitary confinement, put them down in a hole somewhere and leave them there for 2 or 3 weeks where they nearly go mad. But you'll anoint a servant of God, someone to speak to them, to try to show them the way back. Lord Jesus, be merciful to us, I pray. We don't ask you to just recapture prisoners here in Happy Valley.
but all over the world, Father, so we can leave this world. Oh, glory to God. We love you, Lord Jesus. I thank you that I'm your prisoner. These prisoners we know have numbers and identifications by the way they're known. We also, too, we don't have a number. We have a seal. Oh, God, help us, Lord Jesus. Help us to love this prison. There's never been one like it. You give your prisoners such good treatment. You comfort us when we're down. You're with us when we're discouraged. You've left our bodies in time so that they're unredeemed yet. They get sick. They get diseases. They get afflictions. But yet you suffer stripes so we could be healed. Then inevitably, at the end, when our life is finished, Satan will be allowed to take us. But even at that, he can't take us till you're done. What a prison. Thank you, Lord. We have full benefits. Glory to God. One, a personal relationship with the warden himself. He is our attorney. He is our lover, our king, our El Shaddai, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Shalom. Forgive me, Lord, for complaining about prison conditions. I have, Lord. There's times you've made me preach things I didn't want to preach. It was against my better judgment. I knew it would cost me. I knew people wouldn't like me no more. I've tried to get out of it. I've questioned you. Forgive me, Lord. I know what it's like to be a prisoner, to be made to do something that you really don't want to do, and then suffer the consequences later. Forgive us, Lord. Oh, Jesus, give us a prisoner's heart. We don't want to run away. We're not looking for a file to be able to cut through the bars. We're not trying to pay a guard to bring us something from the outside, from the world. Sneak us in some dope. Sneak us in some cigarettes. We don't want none of it, Lord. Oh, grant it, Jesus. Make us prisoners, Lord God. This will be the biggest jailbreak the world has ever known. For the rapture will loose all these prisoners. Glory to God. Some of them have gone back to acids and atoms. And some of them, Lord, been laying in the grave, their bodies for hundreds of years and thousands of years. But one day, the prison doors will swing open. Oh, glory. There'll be living ones all over the face of the earth. Living in these prisons, these natural prison houses. Glory to God. Glory to God. The thought would be released from the throne of God. Every prisoner of Christ on the earth will catch that thought. And out of these prison houses. Oh, praise the Lord. Glory. The inner life. We won't leave them, but we'll change them. Glory to God. The Spirit of God within us. Then this new body will be formed around that new person. Lord Jesus, make us prisoners, Lord. I'm a prisoner bound by love. I have love from my Father. My Father above. I can't go where I want to go. I can't do what I want to do. 'cause I'm a prisoner. I'm a prisoner. Prisoner. Sometimes I go against my better judgment. Sometimes I'm led to say what I know will cost me if I say. But I hear my chains as they rattle around my arms and around my feet. Yeah. You see, I'm a prisoner. I'm a prisoner. I've been called by His grace to go out and look for runaways. For really their name is in the book, but Satan had them to take a look toward the world and its ways. But I'm called to call them back to this house of God's love, to imprison their souls with this call from above. We're prisoners. We're prisoners of His love. Why don't you offer Him your hands? Let Him put those chains around your ears. Let Him chain your feet. And most of all, let Him chain your heart. But you won't walk around being sad. Oh, you won't walk around being down, 'cause you're a prisoner. I said you're a prisoner of heavenly heavenly love. You see, our warden Himself came down to this earth. He embraced the ways of a prisoner Himself. And He said, Father, if it be Thy will, let this cup pass from me. But then He saw there was no other way for His elect to be called away. So He imprisoned His will to the Father's perfect will. In Gethsemane, I can hear Him say, I'm a prisoner. I'm a prisoner. I'm a prisoner of His love. Of His love. This is the most peculiar prison you'll ever be in. But God gives you the chains, the fetters, the shackles, and He lays them all before you with the keys included. And He tells you now, the preacher can't put them on, your mama, not even me. But if you really love me, I want you to pick up these fetters. And I want you to go. I want you to imprison yourself. Your feet, your eyes, your heart. And I want you to come to the prison door. Warden! It's Donnie Reagan.
Yes, sir.
I come to turn myself in, sir. Will you take me? This is the only prison where people stand in that line waiting to get in. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Because they love Him so much. You appreciate Him, friends? I'm a prisoner of love, a slave to the Master. I'm willingly torn through the heat and the cold. I seek no reward in this world below, but the payday will come. Let's sing it together now. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I'm a prisoner of love, a slave to my master. I willingly fall to the heat and the cold. Thank you, Lord Jesus. But my payday will come when the pearly gates unfold. Glory. Everybody together now. Oh, I'm a prisoner of love. I'm a slave to my master. The bride willingly told. Through the heat and the cold. Glory! I seek no reward in this world. Thank you, Lord Jesus. But the payday will come when the pearly gates unfold. God bless you, prisoners. Go in the fear of God. Of love. I'm a slave to my master. I will.